verses 26 through 29. The kingdom of God is like this, he said. This is Jesus. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he does not know how. The soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain on the head. As soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle, because the harvest has come. Let's pray. Father, we give you glory today, for you are on the throne. We will not fear, we will not shrink back from you and worship in the mission that you have given us, because Lord Jesus, you said all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. So you, Lord, have authority over kings and nations. You have authority over viruses and sicknesses. You have authority over our lives. And so we come humbly. We come humbly to receive the grace that we need today. God, when we come to your word, we come not as those who would impose upon it, but we come as those who know we need what you say. We need the strength and the vitality and the life that is offered to us in your word by your spirit. So would you come now, whoever hears this, God, would you come and pour out your life through your spirit as your word is brought forth? Would you bring in power? We do lift up those who are sick, those who are suffering at home, those who are beginning to recover. We thank you. We do lift up Linda in particular, that you would strengthen her body and give a deliverance from this disease, that you would give those who are attending to her a supernatural grace and wisdom as they consider her treatment. But Lord, we know that all healing comes from you, and that you would work healing in her life and strengthen her. Strengthen Damon as well, as he has been ill and is trying to love his wife in the midst of this. But Father, we ask that you would bring healing for the others that are amongst our church, amongst our membership, that are suffering and who are ill, and those who are ill with other things. There are many who have needs. And so I pray that you would be near to them, that they would know right now your nearness and your presence. For as your word says, your nearness is our good. And now, Father, I pray that whatever proceeds from this mouth would fall to the floor, that is, none of you would fall to the floor and remain unheard. For the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Lord Jesus, you said, heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never pass away. Lord, speak to us, we pray. Speak, Father. Speak, Jesus. Speak, Spirit. Your children are listening. Have mercy in the name of Christ. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, it might have been last week. My time is all messed up. But the kids down in the gym, Miss Frances, they do, and Donna, they do little crafts. And so Evelyn, May, and Henry, my two oldest kids, they did a project. This is Henry's, and this is Evelyn May's. I don't know if you can see this, but they planted, I later learned from Francis that this was a butter bean. They planted a butter bean in a cup because they've been learning about the days of creation when God, and this one was God said, let there be land and produce plants. And so it's the same soil, it's the same seed, it's the same water. I watered these things equally, same every day. And if you can see, this one has that's like a 6 or 7, 8 inch plant, butter bean plant. I don't know if it turns into a vine. I probably need to put this into, I'm not a gardener. But anyway, so we have this very fruitful thing that is growing up, and maybe we'll get to eat a butter bean off of it. And then you have this one, which there's literally nothing happening. I've massaged it, and I've tried to pay attention to it, extra attention to it. And Evelyn May is very, very concerned that Henry's grows and hers doesn't. And so we had to have this conversation that we do everything we can do, but ultimately we're not in control of the growth. That we can plant the seed, we can water it, we can tend to it, we can, I didn't put fertilizer or anything, but this is, so, you know, we can do everything we can do, and yet we won't see the growth that we want to see all the time. When we come to Mark chapter 4, Jesus is in the middle of telling a bunch of parables, and this kind of parallels Matthew chapter 13. And when you're thinking about parables, it's really important to understand how to understand. It's important to know how to interpret a parable. That parables, they are not particularly little ones like this one or the one that follows it. Paul is it about the parable of the mustard seed. It's really important to not come and say, I've got to fill in every nook and cranny with some interpretation. That I have to interpret every piece of this with something. That usually parables, particularly first century parables that Jesus is using, there's an exception. There are exceptions. For example, the parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and tares. Those are ones that Jesus actually explains. He gives explanations to his disciples. But these shorter ones, he doesn't. He doesn't provide that because parables are intended, short parables like this one are intended for one interpretation, like one is shooting at one thing. So this whole story is meant to illustrate this one singular important truth. And so when we come to this story, this parable about the kingdom of God is like this. It's a simile. You know, similes compare things with words like and as. And so your Bible, if you read maybe a King James, it might say similitude. These are similitudes, that these are relating the kingdom of God to images so that we have a better understanding of what God is doing in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is really the essence of what Jesus comes to preach. That when Jesus preaches the gospel, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is breaking in to the fallen world to establish the rule and the reign of God here. And so Jesus comes preaching this, and one of the ways that he teaches is through parables. So what is the point of this parable of the man who scatters seed on the ground and doesn't really know how it grows? So you have these three pieces. You have the seed, the soil, the seed in verse 26, the soil in verse 28, and the sickle in verse 29. In our technological age, not many people know what a sickle is, or fewer probably know what a sickle is for. A sickle is that curved blade that is for harvesting, that would be swung by a harvester, usually had handles on it, and they would swing it like this, and it would chop down the crop so that they could harvest the crop. So the man goes and scatters the seed, and this is the imagery that Jesus uses here, but he also uses it with the parable of the sower, which is earlier in chapter 4. And so this should be interpreted linked with the parable of the sower, meaning that the seed that is here in verse 26 is the same seed that is referred to in the parable of the sower. So the seed is the word, and particularly then that's what Jesus says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So particularly it's the word of the gospel of the kingdom. So the man is sowing, right? He's going to plant. He's casting out the seed of the word or the message, the news of the kingdom of God. So he's scattering this out on the ground, and he sleeps and he rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he does not know how. When you're reading a parable, you might think, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And I don't know if you know many farmers, but the farmers I know and the farmers that I've heard of, that farming is very, very hard work. And even if you have a garden, it's very, very hard work. But this farmer seems rather, I don't want to say lazy, that's not fair, but maybe lackadaisical, kind of like, you know, I'm going to go sleep. I'm going to go look. I'm going to go look at the ground. I'm going to go back to sleep. That it seems like his inactivity, he's visiting where he planted, but he's not doing anything else. He's not putting fertilizer out. He's not taking any steps of irrigation or anything like that. He's sort of just letting it happen. And that kind of stands out. It should stand out to us, even if you know farmers. And it should stand out for what farmers did in the first century. Farming was different, planting was different, but they still were attentive to their crop. This farmer seems, if you will, not attentive. And so the soil begins to grow. It produces, well, the seed in the soil produces a crop. despite the farmer's inactivity. And by itself, Scripture says, first the blade, then the head, and the full grain on the head. So the farmer is at least visiting to see three times, at least to see the growth of the seed. He's that attentive, but he's not attentive as though he needed to do something to it. And then finally, the crop is ready and the sickle has come. The sickle is there because the harvest has come. So this very compact parable centers on the idea, and what stands out is the anomaly. What shouldn't be there is this farmer's inactivity. Everything else is normal life. The sowing of seed, the seed in the soil producing the crop, and then the sickle for harvest. All of that's normal. What's not normal is the farmer. The farmer's inactivity. And so what ought we then to do with that? Because that's the thing we need to kind of massage to understand the truth of this parable. That the effectiveness, and this is what I want to put before you, the effectiveness in this parable, the effectiveness of the seed lies not with the farmer, not with the sower, but is in the seed itself. The effectiveness of the seed lies not with the farmer and his ability, but is actually present within the seed itself. And to take that and apply it to the kingdom, it means that the message of the kingdom is powerful in and of itself. That the seed of the Word of God, the Word of the Gospel of the Kingdom of Jesus Christ, is powerful enough to produce the fruit that the Lord would have come from it. That the sovereign God, the sovereign God sees that His kingdom grows because His kingdom is dynamic. The growth of the kingdom of God, if you will, is inevitable. It's inevitable because it is backed by the omnipotent power of the sovereign God. And so and another way to say this is that the Word of God accomplishes the will of God and will accomplish the will of God until Jesus comes for His people. That the Word of God accomplishes the will of God until Jesus comes for His people. That the kingdom of God does not need, now understand me, it does not need our assistance. Christ calls our obedience, but He does not need our assistance. That what stands out in this parable, what the foil, what stands out to the farmer's inactivity is the potency of the seed. The potency of the sown seed in the ground stands out against the farmer's inactivity. So that the seed bears fruit because of the nature of the seed. The nature of the Word of the Gospel of the Kingdom of God will bear fruit. That the seed has, if you will, the DNA. Right? Just like this butter bean here. See, there's still half a butter bean that's almost like attached to it like a leaf now. It's becoming a leaf. But it's going to bear, it's growing up like a butter bean because it's from a butter bean. If I planted a butter bean, I'm not going to get an apple tree. I'm not going to get an oak tree. It's going to bear the same DNA. So the DNA of the message of the kingdom is going to bear kingdom fruit. But the other thing that we ought to notice, there's a lot that we could notice, but the other thing that we ought to notice is that this soil, which represents the hearts and the minds of the people who hear, that this soil, if you look at the parable of the sower, has to be tilled. It has to be ready. There has to be good soil for the seed to land on, so that this seed, this DNA, if you will, gets planted into hearts and minds. There is a work, a pre-planting work, and obviously the harvesting work, but then there's this planting work. And what we do, Christians, not just preachers, but what we do praying, but we praying that the Lord would prepare hearts, and then we plant the seed, we sow the seed, and really, honestly, the rest of this is the Lord's. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be attentive. The farmer is not to be our model here. He's simply there as a foil for the dynamism, the power of the seed. the power of the word. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Where Apollos, I planted and Apollos watered, but the Lord gave growth. That Paul came and first planted the seed among them. Apollos came and watered the seed by continuing to teach them and continuing to train them and continuing to lay out the word before them. But God brings the growth. That if there is kingdom growth, which is inevitable from the word of the kingdom, it is of God. The kingdom grows according to God. So what do we do with this? Well, I take great heart in that, since none of you are here. Like that we're all separated, we're all scattered. And so even when the dynamism, the power, the potency of the Word of God, or particularly the Gospel of God, the Gospel of the Kingdom of God, that the power behind that and inherent to it, right? This is what Paul says about the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Greek. That the gospel is inherently powerful. God doesn't need me to supply potency and ability to the gospel message. What we must do is get the gospel message out there and believe that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. The other thing is that even right now when we are all separated and it doesn't look, at least in my temporal time frame, it doesn't look like anything is happening. It doesn't look like what I want to happen is happening. And maybe you've experienced this with groups of people or particular individuals where you've gone in, you've shared the gospel, you've shared the love of Jesus and serving them and helping them and whatever you might have done in their life. You've consistently communicated the love of Christ, the sacrifice on the cross, this empty tomb, that the call that everyone who trusts in Him will not come under condemnation but is free and forgiven. Maybe you've laid this out over and over and over and over again and they've never believed. They remain resistant, or more often in our culture this day, they remain apathetic. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're thinking of a loved one or a co-worker or a neighbor. And what I want you to see is that the message of the gospel is never, never impotent. The message of the gospel always, always is potent and powerful. But the potency and the power of the seed is not dependent upon what we see. You might be laying out something. There's a great story, and I wish it just came to me, so I wish I had written it down so that I could have all the details for you. But it was a man who heard, I believe it was that he heard Martin Lloyd-Jones preach. And I know it's Martin Lloyd-Jones. I don't remember the time frame, but he heard Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a preacher, probably the best preacher of the 20th century in London. And this man heard him preach as a young man, like maybe a teenager, 15, something like that. And he did not believe on the Lord. He didn't trust the Lord. He went the rest of his life denying Christ, living for himself, living in sin and whatever else. And then he came to be an old man. And I want to say he's in his 70s or his 80s. And it wasn't a fresh encounter, but that by God's grace, he remembered Lloyd-Jones' sermon from probably 60 or 70 years before. And that man repented and believed upon the Lord Jesus and was brought into new life in the kingdom through a message that he heard 60 years prior. Lloyd-Jones was off. His body was in the ground. He was present with the Lord. He had no idea. So that when you sow the seed of the gospel, you're releasing it to God's harvest. And you're saying, Lord, you do. If I see it, if I see it, if I don't, I don't. But it also means that not every person is going to believe. This is not how the gospel works. And for reasons that are mysterious to us, you can plant the same seed in the same soil, same care and attentiveness, and you will never see fruit in this one. I don't know in this particular instance if it's a bum seed, or if I accidentally put too much water in there or what. But there are people in this world who will not believe in the gospel. But it doesn't mean that you don't sow the seed. Because our Lord has commanded us, and we are not the ones. Right? If you were to imagine this plant is gone, we are not the ones to say, this one looks good. This is the one we're going to plant in. Don't worry about this one. Right? This is not ours to choose. Our job as the people of God is to sow the seed. It might look like a bum cup. It might look like a bum life. It might look like that person's never going to believe. But you know better. Those are the people the Lord loves to bring to Himself. So that we can have confidence right now. Even right now, separated and spread out, we can have confidence that the Lord will bear His fruit. He even says this in Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 10. For as the rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. The word of God will accomplish the will of God in God's time, every time. The final thing that's not particularly in our parable that I want to mention about the seed is that, if I can bring it back, that this will eventually, if it continues to grow, if we continue to care for it, all those sorts of things, it will eventually bear butter beans. And in those butter beans, in that fruit, if you will, is the same DNA that brought this fruit, this plant, to bear. So if you are growing, if you have been brought into the Lord Jesus, you need to be bearing fruit that you can sow into other people's lives. Another way of saying that is that mature followers of Jesus Christ press the gospel of the kingdom of God into our community. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a preacher. It doesn't mean that everyone is going to be standing on the corner or be an evangelist and you're passing out tracts or knocking on doors. That might not be you, but your job, your role is that you are an ambassador of Jesus, and that where you are in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, that you need to prayerfully, in the powerful Spirit of God, bring the powerful Word of God to bear in the midst that you want to be able to share with other people and you want to be able to serve other people in the name of Jesus, so that Jesus is displayed and people experience Christ's presence through you. Because you are now, right, the life that we have. Paul says it in Colossians chapter 3, that you died in the life that your life is hidden with Christ in God. That the new spiritual life that you have, Christian, is not yours, but you are participating in the new life of Jesus. You have the spiritual DNA of the one who has saved you. The blood of Christ has paid your debt, washed your sins away, and made you alive in Him. The life that you now live, you live in Christ. And so we ought to have, if you will, the spiritual DNA of Jesus. We begin to look like, we want to be with Him, and we want to look like Him, and act like Him, and love like Him, and then we want to do what He tells us to do. And so for some of us, we might be running from a call to do something like go preach, or do something to go study to go preach. Or maybe God's calling you to go overseas and bring the gospel to bear. Or maybe He's calling you to do something new in our midst. A new work, a new community, and that needs to be formed so the gospel goes out. Maybe He's calling you to partner with some of our burgeoning, blossoming church planting efforts. Maybe He's calling you there. Or one thing I know is that He's calling you to make Jesus known in the relationships that you already have right now. Right now. But the thing is that it doesn't, the success of it, it doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. And all the Lord is asking of you is that you would be faithful. That you would be faithful to Jesus where you are. In the everyday stuff of life, in the morning, in the evening, in the middle of the day, that you would be faithful to Jesus. And see what he will do. See what he would do when the blade pops up and the grain begins to form on the plant. And you can rejoice and praise the God who called you into such a work. So be encouraged that the kingdom of God is dynamic. Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not stand against it. He is right now. The word of God, one, is right now powerful. Two, Jesus is right now building his church. Three, Jesus is right now with you, Christian, so that you can do what he's called you to do and live on his mission. And so that we can see more and more seeds blossom into plants that bear more seeds that blossom into plants. So ultimately there will be a great harvest when the Lord returns and he sends out his angels to reap up his harvest for the glory of God. The thing I want to say to those who might not know Jesus, or you might be questioning these things right now. First of all, the message of the kingdom is a message of deliverance from the darkness that closes in, the isolation and the fear. But it's a deliverance from the sin that has led you away from your God. And that sin hollows out all the joys of this world. And if you begin to press into those things, you begin to see that they're actually hollow. It's an invitation that you would have new life in Christ. That you would bend the knee and bow your head and believe upon the Lord Jesus and ask for his help to come and save you. And he will. If that's where you are, please reach out. Love to talk. If you have questions, reach out. But if you're a Christ follower, I would encourage you to say to leave this message and re-up your commitment to the kingdom. Re-up your commitment to the word of the gospel of the kingdom, that God is supremely able and that he is building his kingdom. He's building his church. And he will do it in his time and his way. And he's called us to be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning. Even in the midst of, for some, they're fearful, for some, they're upset and discouraged, maybe depressed. For others, they are self-centered and a sort of oblivious to the pain of others. Others who are clinging to you and finding hope in you. And in the midst of all these, would we find your presence with us in your spirit? Lord, would you craft in us a confidence, not in ourselves, not in our church or our church programs or our service. All these things are good. But that you would make in us a confidence in your word and in your gospel and in your presence with us. That you will give us what we need today to make Jesus known and to be faithful to him. And you will give us what we need tomorrow to make Jesus known and to be faithful for him. And the next day, and the next day, would we keep coming to you for fresh daily bread to visit you so that we might go into the mission that you've called us to do. Give us grace, give us strength, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace. Love you guys.